Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott's Diner, and you're listening to Shoot the Shit.
Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer. Shut up. You're listening to Shoot the Shit podcast. Enjoy.
What's going on?
Does anybody know what episode this is?
Are we recording?
I thought we were recording now.
Wait,
you guys said you just wanted to talk. You didn't say I had to fucking work tonight. Is it 126?
We take one fucking week off and the wheels just completely come off this piece
of shit.
Well,
dude, I was just like, you didn't say we were recording. I thought we were just going to fuck around and hang out. I didn't know I had to work. Fuck.
That's right, everybody. Thank you for watching. It is episode 126. At least the premiere knows what's going on because this guy doesn't. We took a week off. I mean, hell, sue us. Two of these guys next to me had to work, and I was trying not to get mugged in Hell's Kitchen. So, hey, I think it was a good decision not to record last week.
Did the guys from Queer Eye come to your house and remake you?
No.
No?
I'm
just wondering.
A dude in Harlem did, man.
Hey, dude, it's not far-fetched. It happens all the time. You watch the show.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
You're in the kitchen cooking, having an emotional story. Everybody's crying.
Yeah.
It's good TV, bro.
Yeah, it's good TV, dude.
The pro wrestling podcaster is just letting his hair grow ever since his great grandmother passed away and he couldn't deal.
Now, of nowhere, you've got two queens just walking, oh my gosh. And it's just.
And he's still walking around with the heartache of his grandmother screwing a B wrestler.
God.
Hey, that B wrestler wrestled with Shawn Michaels, man. So you know, could have been. I could have been wrestling royalty, man. I could have been one of those royal families that Cody talks about.
Mari Jannetty wrestled with Shawn Michaels. That don't mean a goddamn thing.
So you're saying Grandma fucked Barry Horowitz?
Oh no. Well, I am 2% Jewish. There you go, Isaac.
Oh, for fuck's sake, what the person is. You're killing me, Simone.
Oh, God.
funny thing.
God rest him.
Such a good guy. But, gentlemen, we've got a loaded show tonight. A little bit of everything. Little wrestling, little sports, little combat sports. Man. It kind of feels weird not having a joke of the week to transition into the actual video, doesn't it?
You sure about that?
Nope, yeah, hit the video! Gentlemen, I'll let you decide how we start this magical ride that's going to be 126. Do we start wrestling? Do we start football? Do we start boxing? Where do you guys want to go?
Oh, we should start at the top of the list because I've been sitting on this shit for two fucking weeks.
There we go.
You can only be talking about wrestling. Where are we going first, man? Where do you want?
We're going to go to that fucking absolute pile of steaming dog shit.
It's the last time we'll be able to say that, man. It's Sting.
I'm okay with that because I'm tired of hearing it, dude. No, I'm tired of fucking hearing it.
You're so finicky, dude. One minute you love him. Now you want to. You were so afraid he was going to die. Now you don't give a fuck about him. Come on.
Well, it's not so much
Pick
that.
A middle ground, brother. Pick a middle ground.
First of all, true confession, I never liked Crow Sting.
Secret.
I don't give a fuck. Doesn't do it for me. You know what? Best thing is Surfer Sting. Go fuck yourselves. That's my answer. I don't care.
Come on, man.
No, don't come on, man. Me, like,
come what? On.
Don't do it. Don't
I'm
do
gonna,
it.
I'm gonna be anti-normal. I didn't like the Crow Sting.
I'm.
Did
just
you
saying,
not like Joker Sting too?
I did like Joker Sting.
Okay.
Joker Sting is number two. Surfer Sting's number one.
Okay, you are so fun. Surfer Sting is one. Joker Sting is two.
Yeah,
dude, Joker Sting is always two.
Is more iconic than either.
Why?
When you think, because when you think Sting, you think Crow. You think no. that character. He, no. dude, he.
I don't. I think RoboCop. He, well, and you I don't. Think Leon.
Oh my god! Well, the fact that you said RoboCop, there's no reason for me to even argue with this about this with you anymore. I win.
Exactly. My real problem that I've been sitting on for two fucking weeks is fucking Darby Allin.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't give me your shit. I'm telling you right now. I think that was the most bullshit thing I've ever seen. I'm not impressed in the spot. I'm not impressed by what he did. Honestly, it's going to sound terrible. I would have loved if they had to literally stop the match because they couldn't stop him from fucking bleeding.
Jesus.
And you know why? You know why? So people stop getting used to that and expecting it. Dude, you talk about Sting, one of the fucking all-time greats. And you basically made a car crash bloodbath of his last match.
Yeah.
I fucking felt embarrassed watching that match.
Wow.
It was embarrassing. Look, good luck to him, but if Darby never comes on down from Everest, I'm not really gonna fucking give a shit.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez, man.
I don't mean he has to die up there.
You just said if he never comes down.
That look, you can just live up there at base camp. He wants to fucking mountain.
Yeah. He's not just gonna stay up there because he fucking likes the cold, bro.
I think he does.
I figured he was gonna climb up there and just drop an elbow.
No, in all seriousness, like it's pretty big feat. So if he does that, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, but
pretty cool. He's gonna cough and drop from the summit.
What I don't care for with Darby is this bullshit of fucking, like, let me try to fucking kill myself today. And doing it in a match that was, everything's built up. Sting's last match. It's Sting's final match. His career's ending. All this and that. I thought it was a joke. It was an embarrassment. And honestly, Darby, you know, I know we kind of were maybe talking about this thing and we're going to jump it early here. But, you know. Yeah, we're going to see somebody die in the ring in AEW. We're going to watch somebody die on live television on a Wednesday night doing some stupid fucking shit.
Jumping the shark early, I see. All right.
It's going to happen. And it's well, ties together because that's what I feel about this. We can talk about it later. But still, that match was a fucking joke. That entire pay-per-view was barely watchable.
I agree.
Just the truth. I thought it was a shit card. Glad I didn't have to pay for that one. Wink. You know. And then they expect you to shill out another 50 fucking bucks for the next one. And you know what? Okay. I want to see Danielson versus Ospreay. I'm not going to lie. It's not worth the money. Sorry. It's not. Not when I know the rest of the card is going to be an absolute fucking, what, clusterfuck of dog shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay for Danielson. And Ospreay, because we got Ospreay and Tekashita for free. And that shit was a banger. Oh, wait. It wasn't for free. Wink. But you know what I'm saying. Ospreay's going to be on free TV. There's no need to pay to see him wrestle. Especially Brian. I think we've been very vocal that he's not been having the greatest run of his career right now. So, yeah.
You guys can talk about Sting all you want. Go for it.
Wolf, you got any good Sting?
Well, crow's
well sting. I mean, first off, anybody who thinks Surfer Sting's back was bigger than the fucking crow sting, don't. That's come on, dude. That's just some hanging on to child shit.
I'm sorry. What like, did you say?
Nobody,
what did,
nobody, nobody what said. That's no, just hanging on to. No, not anybody that part. Who thinks the Surfer Sting was is more iconic than the crow, or they don't know shit. That's dumb shit.
All it, lies.
It just is. All it lies. Just is.
Fake it's news. Just,
look,
I can't even. Nah, it's my turn. I was quiet, dude.
All right, daughters of Manor. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead. Finish your point. Go ahead.
Thanks, Big Fat Greek Wedding. To put this in, honestly, to be completely, I'm just fucking with you. I know, dude. You look like the chick that was getting married, though, with the beard and everything.
It's the mustache.
I mean, I actually do 100% agree with pretty much fucking everything Joey said, but the Surfer Sting bullshit. Don't get me wrong, dude. Surfer Sting is iconic. You know, that guy was, as a kid, watching him when he started, dude, I fucking loved him as Surfer Sting. But the evolution of that character and how it, you know, I mean, other than the fact that they completely fucked the booking up when he fought Hogan, that year was probably one of the best storylines or anything that Eric Bischoff did on fucking accident that actually worked out was probably one of the best things I've seen in wrestling in a long time, dude. It was pretty remarkable. Now, the end of his career, how he's going out and all that, dude. I mean, he went out on his own terms. I mean, obviously he agreed to do all that crazy shit, and that's fine. And yeah, Darby's going to end up getting scraped up in a fucking snow shovel. But I mean, think about the one thing that I was thinking about while you was talking like that. Is if there was not the restraint during the 90s, he would basically what Mick Foley would be doing is all that crazy shit that he does. I'm not comparing to Foley as a worker, but he is kind of a modern day Mick Foley in that mindset. He's just willing to put his body on the line for the fans. And yeah, it's not smart. And yeah, he's probably going to end up wearing a helmet or in a wheelchair or some shit, but you know, I mean, everybody goes down. I mean, look at Luger, look at fucking Davey Boy, or look at Tom Billingsley. A lot of these guys have ended their career, and a lot of them didn't even come close to doing the ignorant shit that Darby Allin does, dude. It's just who he is. Is it scary and it make me nervous? Sure as shit does, man. I don't want to see any of these guys get hurt for real, and I definitely didn't want to see Sting get injured. And to be I've watched parts of the videos. I haven't watched the whole match because it just that's not who Sting was to me.
Yeah.
What the work he did in AEW, dudes, holds up because most guys his age don't work like that. He didn't lose a step.
Right.
He, you know, the athleticism, his ability to work, who he is as a man and as a person and a person in the locker room. One of the all-time greats, man. So all due respect for that.
And here's my issue with it, right? It's exactly as you just said. It wasn't a Sting match, dude. For Sting's last match, it was not a match that showcased Sting. You gave Sting an AEW farewell.
Yeah.
You let him basically have his partner almost kill himself. You let him no-sell a bunch of moves that a 50-something-year-old man probably wouldn't be walking anymore after taking. And my biggest issue of it all, even though I understand that everybody else was against it, but this is what the powers that be wanted, Sting went over.
Yeah, I had a problem with that too.
Yeah,
all the greats, you don't retire going over.
Yeah.
That means you could still go if you go over. If I'm saying this is it,
yeah,
take your one loss in the whole company as your last match, dude.
Well, I mean, it's some Tony Khan hero worship, man. I mean, he's gonna break all the laws of booking because he's sucking Sting's cock
and doing some great lines off that bitch. Talk about Crow Sting all you want, boy.
That's fucked up, you know, man. What? Here,
that's fucked up.
Two things, Sean. Number one is the problem with Darby. Is what you said. Look at the guys before him and look at how they live or lived.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't around anymore. Like, right. I think we've had enough examples of seeing doing that kind of shit is not going to be, it's not
good for your health.
It's not a comfortable life. No. Okay. It's not going to be. And
Jeff Hardy can't stay off the shit.
I don't want to cut you off, man, but I think this is important to the point you're making right now. And all due respect, he lives his entire life that way.
Fair yeah. point. I get that.
He's skateboarding, motorcycles, jumping cars. I mean, he's an adrenaline athlete. It's just who he is. So
I agree
with you, like dying live on TV, not cool.
Let me ask you guys something, though.
I'm not good with that.
Let me ask you something, because the comparison was made to Mick Foley. I honestly can say, and this is me even watching Cactus Jack, I was never, maybe once, I was only once afraid that, fuck, he might actually kill himself. And that's not even in Japan, but off of the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, yeah.
But Darby, every time he has a match, you're like, God bless, this kid's going to fucking kill himself. Right. And I think that's the difference.
Once again, I'm going to point out, too, Mick Foley was pretty much let go out of his WCW contract because his ideas were too extreme. They were afraid he was going to hurt. You know, they didn't want to deal with the liability of him injuring himself. So he was only bound by them limitations. Darby Allin has no limitations as far as what Tony Khan's going to allow him to do. So, yeah, it's a fucking risk.
Perfect break right there, because we're going to go into the next topic, because it's going to hit this, man. Al Snow was on his podcast and he said, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when the next wrestler dies in the ring, it's going to be in AEW. Al Snow said that, you know, people like Will Ospreay doing these horrible fucking neck breakers. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, who took a full-on fucking neck breaker onto the turnbuckle pad. Darby Allin. Al Snow said it's going to happen. AEW was going to cause the next on-air death. We're just now touching on it about this whole shit with Darby Allin and Sting. And Al Snow says that the only people to really blame for this shit, it's not the wrestlers, but it's us. It's the fans, it's the Meltzers, it's the Sean Ross Sapps who praise that kind of match that's doing these crazy neck breaker spots, these crazy off the wall, jumping off whatever spots, 5 stars this, 5 stars that, is pushing these guys to say, I need to fucking top it, I need to top it, I need to do this, I need to go bigger, and it's going to get somebody killed. What do y'all think?
I think it's bullshit to blame the fans. And here's why. Performers are going to do what they're going to do. There's nothing we can, you know, nobody's standing in the crowd yelling, I hope you die. I hope you, you know, like slam into the concrete. You know, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. Just watch any show where a wrestler, a performer's been hurt and look at the people in the crowd. That's bullshit to blame the fans. We're not asking them to push the people with the money, the producers, the bookers, the owners, they're the ones who are pushing for higher stakes, bigger risks, bigger crowds, more views on Instagram and TikTok and all that bullshit. I hate when old wrestlers blame the fans. We're entertained by your work, sir. You're the one that's in the ring. You're the one that makes the decision whether your life is worth the $50 you're going to make that night or not. How the fuck is that my fault? We've sat here and talked for months about the fact that we don't want to see Sting get hurt or bitched about the dangerous risk that Darby Allin takes. I didn't see a point in that fucking. There was no point to that bump into the chairs on glass. There was absolutely no point to it.
Sticking it to Punk. That was the point. Real glass. Yeah,
just no point at all. It was just, we're going to put this car wreck in just to see how many people we can get to stand on the side of the road and watch. Yeah. If you buy a ticket and you're in the stands and crazy shit like that happens, you're there to watch. But don't blame us. Don't put it on the fans. the people who run shit, sign the contracts, book the matches, the ones who writers and producers who come up with this shit. As far as I know, there ain't no fans back there behind the curtain telling them what the fuck to do. So maybe we talk to the people who are putting the product out, because that's who it falls to.
Jody, what do you got?
I mean, it's interesting, but I mean, I can't really agree with you because it's all circular. One feeds the other.
Isn't no, the fans, I agree with that, but
it's 100%. It's 100% on the fans. Here's why. Because this is what they're getting accustomed to seeing. This is what they're getting used to seeing. What is the next biggest thing? How many months and months and months have we bitched about? Oh, next week, Tony Khan has a big announcement. Next week, another big announcement. You get spoon-fed this same bullshit over and over. Now you have expectations. I want to see bigger. I want to see more. And no, I don't think there's any fan that's really like, oh, I really want to see him actually hurt himself or possibly kill himself. I don't think anybody's saying that specifically. But are you actually saying that when you say, oh, man, what if he came off this tall of a ladder? What if he went through this plane of glass? I mean, look at how the internet was completely divided. The IWC is completely divided over the CM Punk thing about using real glass. Now you got to see what happens when you not even real fucking glass. That was manufactured, and that's how dangerous that went. Now let's be real. If that was a real glass plate, yeah, they might have had to cut the feed to that fucking show. And that's the truth. And this is the demand of the fans. And in turn, it is also on the promoters and the producers and everybody pushing it, because we need to keep pushing. We need more. We need more. And what are you fighting against? Like a PG-13 product that doesn't produce the same type of thing? That's what you're doing? So really, like, that's where the promotion is at fault, because you're pushing this narrative to your very niche fans. And let's be honest, AEW fans in particular are a niche fan. They're not real, in my opinion, they're not true wrestling fans. And this is not gatekeeping in any way. They are fans of a very specific product, a very specific version of wrestling. And that specific version, this is what you get. You get blood and you get wild shit. And you get what I got, like I always say, the inmates running the asylum. Because you have a fan with $1 billion to do what he wants. You know, like we were all kids playing with wrestling figures and toy wrestling rings, right? And like we all got to have the matches that we wanted and the finishes that we wanted and that stuff. Tony Khan just has the money to do that with the actual human beings. And that's what he's been doing. This is why I'm not a fan of AEW anymore. So is it the fans? Yeah, it's the fans. It's their demand. Is it management? Yeah. And also, is it the talent? Oh, we have to do more. We have to do more. Why? Why this fucking tribalism of like, oh, we have to do more because we have to be number one. AEW has to be. No, it doesn't. Because you know what? Here's the thing. Surprise. It's never going to be number one. It's not going to be around long enough to be number one, because they're going to fucking burn themselves out trying to be number one instead of just being a good wrestling show.
Yeah.
If you're like just TNA. If you're just a fucking good wrestling show, people are going to find you. People are going to appreciate you. Like, it's what it is. Don't be fucking, don't strive to take down the fucking, you know, you're trying to tear down a mountain.
And you're doing in a way,
old pickaxes, dude. Like, it's just not going to work.
In a way, their formula is a lot similar to what Paulie was doing with ECW back in the day. They're trying to be the alternative to what WWE is. And I get that. And don't, you know, I'm not saying AEW is ECW. I'm just saying
no. The
mentality is we have to be different. We have to go more realistic. We have to – it's a combination of NWA, ECW booking.
Paul himself knew that ECW wouldn't fucking stand the test of time. Like, you look back now and everybody kind of agrees and goes, yeah, ECW was good for that time. So if you have your mentality of that way – it's not built for something sustainable and long lasting. Exactly. This is why and that's where you have a problem. You know, if you're just signing the flavor of the week, Like, what the fuck? Like, you're signing the Flavor of the Week. They come in, they make some money, and then what? They're buried to the mid card?
Well, I mean, I feel like Tony Khan's just a collector.
And that's shit. I guess we'll segment into our next fucking thing because you guys are just shooting at it tonight.
His newest collection?
Yeah.
But yeah, the newest part of the collections, guys, we've got Kazuchika Okada. What was it, 2 weeks ago? And now we've got Mercedes Moné, the CEO, last night. Two big additions. Two where do they fit in? It's kind of like you guys are saying. It's the money mark. It's the collector. Well, what is he going to do with these new people?
Well, I mean, he signed Okada because he's Japan's biggest star, and he can ring that rag three or four times over the next 6 months, and Okada will make his money and hopefully not get hurt while he's there. He signed Moné because she's WWE, man. Period. End of story. That's it. She has done absolutely nothing in the time she's been away from WWE. That shows me that she is where she thinks she is, which is aiming to be one of the best in the world. You're not even in the top five right now. You're not in the top 10. You're a ways back, darling. You've dropped off. And I'm not saying that because she doesn't have the ability to work, because she does. I'm just saying there's been no consistency for almost a year that she's been gone from WWE. And in the meantime, Naomi went to TNA, won a title, had a pretty good run with it, good storyline with Jordynne Grace, and come back to WWE. Now she's given her back up to, you know, Tiffany Stratton, and it'll probably be right back in the same role she was in there before she left. But the fact of the matter is she made it her way back. Neither one of those moves the needle for me. I mean, yeah, it'll be cool to see Okada on TV, and, you know, but most people, as Joe said, have no idea who the fuck he is or what he's about or the history of him. So, and Mercedes Moné is just going to be another fucking ex-WWE star flailing away in the AEW women's locker room because they have no idea what they're doing with him. I would like to see her and Britt Baker go at it, though. I think that'd be a good match.
Is Britt still there?
Yeah, she's still there. She's just off. Healing up. Been there. Back injury.
I thought it was a Twitter injury.
Adam Cole blew her back out
when she criticized AEW's shitty fucking booking publicly.
Well, and you know, somebody had to say it.
Yeah, good for her for doing it. Sucks that she's off for like almost a year, but whatever.
She can't be us doing it all the time because they're not listening to us.
Right.
No, but we will tell you who is listening to us later. you know, first of all, Mercedes, anybody who was hyped about that last night, I thought that was dog shit again. Mercedes Moné. Who gives a fuck? How many times are you going to do the Banks gimmick in a fucking different, little bit different spin? You know? Now she's the CEO. You know? It's whatever.
It's a little on the nose, man.
You know what? Whatever. Good for her. Happy she's making some fucking money, because honestly, she's my least favorite of the four horsewomen. She always has been. I don't think she's as good as everybody thinks she or says she is all the time. She's injury prone. She obviously buys into herself way fucking more than anybody else has, because look at her position. She walked out in the WWE over that whole tag team title situation. Okay, fair. What did she do? She went to Japan and botched a whole bunch of shit just to come back and sign an AEW. Okay, cool. That's really fucking great. Good for you. Like, who cares? She went to a fucking AEW, which we have ragged on AEW's women's division so fucking much. It is the shits. And honestly, she's
going to be the exception of Tony Storm and Deanna Purrazzo.
She's going to be the shits there too. And I'll leave it at that. I have no fucking faith in the women's division. Real quick before you jump in there, Okada again. Tell me where he's at in 6 fucking months.
Other than the locker room.
No, he's there because you're gonna get fucking Kenny and Okada again. Whenever if fucking Kenny survives, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, he's fucking struggling, huh?
Yeah, he's barely making it right now.
I mean, like, Jesus, like, is he even going to get back in the ring? But I think that's the plan, or the hope. So we're going to get that again. We're going to get Okada in a couple other matches. And then what? The fad's going to be gone. And he's going to be, what, partnered up with the fucking Bucks? They're lackey?
Yep.
Good for him. Get your fucking money. Congratulations. No one cares. You're not going to have an American legacy in a niche company where the people know you there because they're the same people who knew you from New Japan. And other people who watch WWE or don't fucking care about AEW or have no idea what New Japan is, but they still like pro wrestling in general, the casual fans, as we call them, yeah, those people still aren't going to know who the fuck you are. It's not going to matter. I mean, it's honestly a lateral move. He went from New Japan to fucking New Japan, Florida.
Yeah,
like
I honestly think they should change the name from AEW to Florida.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes there to die now.
They're doing it. And they have all the drugs.
And they have drugs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't even think that's alleged anymore.
But next week, Tony Khan's got a big announcement.
Yeah, and that fucking CEO chant was absolute fucking dog shit. I was like, what are they saying, CEO? Yeah, I'm going to turn this the fuck off because it got annoying. It did.
And here's my thing.
And you know what? Here's the thing. Dennis said that. That's from Dennis.
That's from DDJ, who loves baby.
Fucking everything. It's hard for him to hate something. And he said it got annoying. Imagine how I felt.
All right, man, we done beat that dead horse.
What'd you call her?
Don't do that. don't do that. I said horse.
Dude, that
horse. Oh, okay.
See, that's a little inappropriate. Jesus.
Yeah. Whatever. The fuck. So. It's being reported, gentlemen. We're going to get into a little dirt rag here with WWE talk. Apparently, there was a graphic that was published on official WWE social media that shows Night 2 WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, bloodline rules, meaning they pretty much fucking blew the finish for the first night of WrestleMania, which we all saw coming. Is there any way that they swerve and now the faces win, or are we just double down to bloodline rules?
I have a bigger problem here before anybody says anything.
Oh, Lord.
At this point, I feel that either somebody is waiting for us to upload an episode or TKO has figured out a way to get in and infiltrate our show chat that we have because quite literally weeks ago at this point, did I not give you an entire rundown of what's going to happen at WrestleMania and how it's going to build? Night one, the tag match, Rock and Roman win, bloodline rules. Okay. All's great. Get to that night. Cody has to go through everybody, but then at the end, The Rock is the one to get him to go over Roman, which now sets up The Rock and Roman for the head of the table, which is where they wanted to go to. Everybody's happy. All you jerk-offs that fucking want to fucking blow Homelander, you know, good for you. You finished your fucking story, you fucking chodes, fucking lames. Just out here just living in loser land.
How do you really feel?
I can't. I'm going to be at WrestleMania with every fucking Cody fan, you fucking lumps. I swear to God. I'm going to fucking buy a goddamn Bloodline t-shirt or a Rock t-shirt and just wear it and just go, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. Yeah. Everybody. But wow. I said this in the Cody Crybaby shirt. I need one of those. I'm getting one of those. Fuck him. WWE has to be listening to us, right?
Yeah.
I've called all this. I've said all these things. There's been other instances where we've basically booked out. We can book out the next fucking 2 years for them.
Dude, we've been booking for them for a year and a half. What the fuck are you talking about? Jesus
fucking Christ, right?
We'd accept tickets to Mania.
Yeah, fuck, man.
Or at least move fucking Taker show to Friday night or the Magic show to Friday night. Fucking space out your fucking events, TKO and WWE, you bastards.
Well, the Magic show is technically, I guess, independent.
It's not this, so. It's Nigel. Yeah. Same difference. Fucking space it out.
Nobody wants to go see an Irish magician, dude.
What do you mean? I do. Been making things disappear for years.
Womp womp.
It hurt because it was true. It's okay, Sean.
Cue the crickets.
Kiss my ass. It's my 7% Irish ass.
Hey, haircut. You're not fucking Irish.
I am Irish. You can't tell me what my DNA says. Fucker, I showed you.
Oh my god. Anyway, go on.
One fucking episode, just one, without hearing his 2%, 7%, 36% bullshit.
I know.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's just because you guys keep fighting it so much. Almost as much as the Cody Crybabies.
Kind of like you fighting with reality. You're fucking Mexican, dude.
Puerto Rican, that's racist.
Y'all look alike to me.
I fucking hate it here.
You gonna take that, Joey?
I can go home.
Oh, Sean just said brown is brown. That's staying in this week. I'm not taking it out. I'm not covering for you no more, Sean.
It's not racist, man. I look like every old white dude with a beard you've ever seen that rode a Harley, right? You don't see me fucking getting ass chapped about it. Settle the fuck down.
Because you're white.
What the fuck, dude?
You've already won, dude.
What the fuck, man?
Joey's Pacific Islander. It used to be his fucking full name, the Pacific Island Playboy. The premier Joey King.
Unbelievable.
All I see is my brothers, man. I don't give a fuck.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, all 2% of you, Javon. The percentages are fucking lame, dude. Stop it. All right, get on with the fucking show. We're running out of daylight here.
Yeah, let's
We're
go.
Burning daylight here, gentlemen. You know what? How about this? We hit this a little bit, man. We found out on Monday Night Raw the next challenger for the ring, General Gunther. Sami Zayn won the gauntlet.
I don't have much on this, but if you're going to put somebody against Gunther and Gunther's putting giving the belt up, you might as well go with the world's biggest underdog, and that's definitely Sami Zayn. So I can see him getting over again, doing this storyline with Gunther. I feel like it's kind of rushed, though, man. I mean, like they just keep fucking shuffling the deck with this guy. I thought it was going to be Jimmy, and then it looked like it was going to be Damian, and now we're back to the Canadian. So I don't know. Next week it could be somebody else. I'm not 100% sure what they're doing with this.
Jody,
man, I feel like they're setting us up for a fucking Priest to cash in. I mean, we got that set up, and now all of a sudden it's laying low. Now we got Sammy in there, and like the perennial, whenever he's a face, he's the biggest underdog in the world. You know, like, okay, I get that. Kind of left a weird taste in my mouth, the whole fucking Gable situation, though.
I know.
You know, like that was a lot. There's a lot of edging there and zero payoff. But like, I'm like, wait a second. They're doing the fucking daughter storyline for Gable, and then Sammy goes over Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
For them to be the final two, you know, everybody was like, oh shit, Gable's finally going to get a fucking put. No.
Yeah. Like, and no, we got Sammy, and I'm like, that did not go the way I thought it was going to go. It didn't feel right. Did not feel fucking right.
It didn't, dude. I'm 100% with you there.
And I just don't, and I don't think Sammy's the guy, though. Like,
he makes no sense in the role.
It doesn't make any sense that he's the one that steps up and beats Gunther. Finally, somebody dethrones him.
He's just going to be a transitional champ, man. He's not going to hold the belt long.
I don't even think he wins.
Well,
I
don't even need it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do something with Gunther, man. He can't keep carrying that motherfucker around. He's too good. He's too good.
Fuck, he can't.
Yeah. No, I know he can, man, but why would you want that?
Why would fucking we want Roman to keep holding the belt after four fucking years?
Well, Roman's going to be gone for a very, very long vacation after this mania. I'm almost going to guarantee. Gunther needs to be brought up. You're going to need a heel to fill that void. And if anybody can heal it up, it's Gunther. Now, I don't know if he can go on the level of what Reigns has done over the last few years, but he definitely generates heat. And the guy would be a phenomenal heel heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I don't see it yet.
I mean, the only thing I could say is I would see that if it's Sammy and Gunther title match and Priest pulls the, you know, in the last couple minutes comes out, pulls that, now it's a triple threat.
The Seth Rollins.
Yep. Priest takes out Sammy, ends up pinning Sammy, not Gunther, wins the Intercontinental title, and then frees up Gunther to go beat Cody's next challenger, if Cody wins the title, which I think we all expect him to at this point.
Yeah, that'll be your Rocky Drago situation.
But I mean, what the fuck? It's like, you know, it's the perfect setup.
Right.
At that point, though,
yeah,
Gunther wouldn't have technically lost the title. So in my eyes, he would still look very, very, very strong.
Well, that's why have it do that triple. That triple threat is a very key piece. You got to keep him strong.
I don't want to feed Gunther to Homelander because Cody has to at least get a fucking defense on that fucking belt. Dude, I swear to God, if they strip Cody fucking a month after winning that belt.
His dad lost the NWA title 30 days to the day.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's the actual finish of the story.
Oh.
Yeah, you're getting the Rhodes finish of the story, right?
Triple H, congratulations, buddy. Rhodes booking.
We're
gonna need that back in 2 weeks in Tulsa.
Cody's gonna get his own fucking dusty finish out of this. And it's just not the one that he
and rightfully wants. So.
And rightfully so, Jesus Christ.
Because it wasn't supposed to be him anyway. It was supposed to be Punk.
Cody's so fucking over though, dude.
It wasn't supposed to be Punk.
It was supposed to be Punk. He was supposed to win the Rumble. He was supposed to win the Rumble. He got hurt.
Punk
That's
was
what
supposed
happened.
To win the Rumble.
Deal
Punk
with
walks
it.
On water. He's going to be the Money in the Bank winner. Punk's
I didn't say he
fucking
walks on water, dude. You get man, Jesus did you Christ. Lose your backbone and all that hair that got cut off? Did they?
I'm just trying to figure out how does CM Punk's dick taste, buddy? You're just on it.
I don't know, bud. How does Moose's ass taste?
If we're talking body parts, I'd rather go ass than fucking dick, motherfucker. Anyway. Yeah, Joe, you got to think about it. It's a thinker.
Yeah, no, you're on your own on this one. Yeah, that's Puerto Rican percentage right there.
Yeah, I'm also 3% something I can't say on air. So you know, hey,
took my brain a second to catch the fuck up.
Yeah, Joey's gonna want to cut this show up too.
Well, it's getting fucking late on the East Coast, guys. I am not. Huh? The fuck? Yeah.
Sun's getting real low, big guy. How about we transition to some sports?
Oh my god!
Yeah, man. It's okay.
I mean, go birds. Like
go birds.
Geez, fuck.
You talk about what? Chicago or Philly? Because there's a lot of birds in Chicago right now.
Okay, I want you to understand this. The emotional fucking roller coaster of the Philadelphia Eagles the past few weeks, okay? The roller coaster of Jason Kelce, absolute Philadelphia fucking royalty at this point.
Yeah.
Retiring. Okay.
Dude, if you're reality, a pro athlete, if you're a pro athlete and you get to go out like Jason Kelce, that's the way you should go out.
So I'm a Cowboy fan, and it still made me upset, dude. I was still fucking sad to see him go.
Right. And then just as the reality is settling in of like, man, we're not going to have number 62 on the field this year. Oh, by the way, Fletcher Cox is retiring. Another fucking absolute Philadelphia Eagle legend at this point. And then, like, fucking Christmas morning, Howie Roseman, legal or not, doesn't matter. But Howie Roseman just says, hey, motherfuckers. We got some shit to do. Next thing you know, oh yeah, Eagles are signing Saquon Barkley. Fucking Eagles are signing what's his name? Huff, fucking the fucking linebacker or a defensive end. I'm like watching this going, why does it feel like the Eagles are the only team like really like getting it out there that they're signing these players? Like, what the fuck's going on here? They added added so much fucking power to this team for this year that Kelce literally was on his podcast going, this is exactly why I didn't want to fucking retire. Like, it made that man who just said, I want to spend time with my wife and my girls go, are you fucking kidding me? You fucking do this now? You couldn't have done it 2 fucking weeks ago? Come on. You know, you have that. I mean, holy shit. I didn't expect all this.
Just a recap for the Philadelphia Eagles fans. You've got edge rusher Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
Running back Saquon Barkley. Safety CJ Gardner-Johnson. That one fucking hurt. Yeah, edge rusher Brandon Graham. Rick Lovato. Braden Mann. Zach Bond. Jake Elliott. Julian Okawara. Albert Okunwumbunanum and Landon Dickerson. Yeah. Fucking went out there and killed it. Free agency. First day, dude. Fucking first day.
I feel like you're missing a name on that, too.
Well, that was updated as of like a couple hours ago. So if it was, it was somebody recent.
Well, I mean, I feel like Chicago's making some good moves. They brought in some players. I think that we got the pieces are all put in the right place could do some damage and make an impact. I mean, we're not just sitting idly by. I mean, what Dallas hasn't signed anybody, right?
We signed 2, dude. I mean, we technically
lost Tony Pollard.
We lost Tony Pollard. We still haven't done anything with Stephon Gilmore. We still haven't done anything with fucking Tyron Smith. But you know, it's tough being a Cowboy fan right now, seeing what everybody else is doing. Because the only thing we got was the guy who fucking was like, yeah, I don't want to go play here. I'll go to Dallas. So, I mean, Kendricks. So,
I mean, we made a couple moves on the O-line. We signed Jake Curran and we signed Shelton. That's going to help with our offensive line. We got a new linebacker. Matt Pryor is another offensive lineman that we signed.
I got you guys' rundown here for the Chicago Bears fans. You have cornerback Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Swift, Ryan Bates, Gerald Everett, Kevin Byard, Jonathan Owens, Patrick Scales, quarterback Brett Ripon, linebacker Amen Ogbonga.
Yeah, dude, I don't know how to pronounce his name, yeah.
Offensive lineman Matt Pryor, Coleman Shelton, and the latest one that broke right when we were coming on here.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, Keenan Allen.
So, you know, and this, for, you know, as far as, you know, you take emotional roller coasters for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm a Bears fan, too. I'll take you 53 years of emotional roller coasters. We can't ever seem to get it figured out. And the 1 year we did was so long ago that I didn't have facial hair. So,
that must be so rough for you.
Oh, dude, shut up.
Does the whole league also shit on you every fucking chance they get?
Well, if your team wasn't such, if it wasn't the asshole of the league, they wouldn't be shitting.
I just want to know. Like, we didn't do fucking shit, and we still get shit on.
Dude, you're Texans. Read a fucking newspaper. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I like the moves that we're making, man. I feel like, but it's all going to come down to what happens. And there's so much fucking speculation with the draft. Do they keep Fields? Do they, dude, at this point, I don't, I really don't give a fuck. Just do figure it out.
All right. Our team's
I'm tired aside, of the speculation.
The, yeah. Our team's aside. By the way, Devontae Parker was the other fucking Ooh. Wide receiver signing that yeah. they picked up. Cause some of the ones you were mentioning are re signings from this past year.
Yeah.
That are on the team. But, can anybody explain to me how fucking Kirk Cousins got $180 million over 4 fucking years? Please. I would, I don't.
Wait, where did he, I forgot where he signed with.
Look, Atlanta.
Atlanta. I mean, this is no bullshit. I'm not talking myself up here. I got a pretty fucking high IQ. I'm a pretty smart person in real life. I know I fucking sound like an asshole most of the time, but it's true. I can't for the life of me put an equation together where Kirk Cousins gets 4 years, 180 mil, and isn't like, I have might have to check this. I might be wrong, but I want to say like 135 of it is like guaranteed money.
Guaranteed money.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Come on, man, that owner down in Atlanta isn't known for making really smart business decisions, man.
Oh no, my God!
He's still recovering from fucking Michael Vick, bro. I mean, that's it.
He's still recovering from 28-3.
Oh yeah, that's still. I mean, but yo, 28-3, and fucking Brady and the Patriots still ain't fucking $180 million to fucking Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
And I know there are some Kirk Cousins dick riders out there that absolutely they'll fucking slob his knob all the way from Minnesota to Atlanta, and that's fine. But what the fuck has Kirk Cousins done? Ever looked
mediocre on
I don't know, dude.
A fucking mid quarterback who was a fucking soundbite after a game, right? That's where everybody was like, oh, who's this Kirk Cousins character? Who's this fellow here?
Who's this fella?
Yeah, like, what the fuck? And I say this with my whole fucking chest, because when Minnesota came to Philly on our Super Bowl run, oh, yeah, this is going to be fucking great. They got blown the fuck out. And they have Kirk Cousins after that, and it is just absolute fucking dog shit from there. They can't win. They can't win with him. He's not the guy. How is he going to be the guy in Atlanta?
He's not the guy.
He's not.
He went from dog shit Washington to dog shit Minnesota to
dog shit Atlanta.
Absolute dog shit Atlanta. But he got, hey, look, good for him. Because if I were Kirk Cousins, I'd be like, do they know they're giving me 180? Fuck it. I'm signing. I'm signing it. Here.
Hurry up. No offensive line.
Fuck it. I got money.
Should we be making dog jokes about Atlanta?
Oh, it's time's passed. Enough time's passed.
Okay. It's time passed. Come on.
Yeah.
Just make Michael Vick has done more for fucking like pit
bull. Well, I don't want to say anything that would be taken untoward, you know.
Yeah, God forbid we start talking about cabins.
Oh my God. I fucking hate it here. Dude, free agency has been wild this year.
Yeah, it has, man. It's been exciting. It's been exciting. So
almost as exciting is the random announcement of Mike Tyson fighting.
Oh my God, dude.
What the on Netflix? Of all places.
Yeah, I knew that. Oh, my God. What the fuck were they thinking? Okay,
if he dies.
Legitimately, I legitimately want to have a discussion about this that just isn't, I hate Jake Paul. I love Mike Tyson.
We should have a discussion that's not like that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to have that. So I'm this is where I'm coming from.
Go ahead.
Real quick. And I had this conversation with a couple of buddies of mine the other night at the bar because we were all, of course, everybody's like, oh, I can't wait to see Tyson fucking killing. Da, 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 da. And to be honest with you, I would love to see Mike Tyson whoop the shit out of this kid. Not because I hate Jake Paul, because I don't know him. The kid can go. I've fallen boxing my whole life. The kid can box his ass off. Now, yeah, he's taking these fights with the MMA fighters and stuff. He's making his money. He's building his name. Do I think he's a real boxing contender in the sense of like an Oscar De La Hoya or a Manny Pacquiao or these other guys? I don't know until he fights a real boxer. Okay. So let's just, we'll take that off the table. Mike Tyson at 57 years old is still Mike fucking Tyson at 57 years old. I watched the training videos. Yes, the movement's there and the power is there and the hitting is there. Here's the problem. Mike Tyson is 57 years old. Okay. Jake Paul, great shape. Always, you know, he's a puncher, dude. When the guy can box, I'm not taking anything away from him. Do I think that Tyson can win this fight? Yes. Will I be surprised when he doesn't win this fight? No, because Jake Paul, statistically, the odds are in his favor. Tyson's older, taking a punch. It's going to be, he's, you know, old, when the older you get, the more you swell. Eyes can go closed. Any of these things can happen. Jake Paul does not have to knock Mike Tyson out to hurt Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson just could be tough enough to take those punches for however many rounds that he takes them. And Jake Paul comes out looking as pretty as he always does with his Botox injections, and Tyson will be a swollen up mess because that's what happens. And if you don't believe me, check Evander or Tommy Morrison, George Frazier,
Tommy Guns,
Foreman. Foreman was never in any danger in that entire fight, but by the end of it, he looked like he got the shit knocked out of him. Okay. And that's what happens as you get older. I'm excited to see the fight. You know, I mean, I think it's a more of a test for Jake Paul than it is for Mike Tyson. And, you know, Tyson's got, dude, he's a puncher. He's still Mike Tyson. A puncher always has a shot. So, and with the movement and how he works, I think it's going to be a really entertaining fight. At least I hope so. I mean, and Tyson said in an interview, his last fight, he really wasn't in shape for, didn't really want to do. He's excited about being in this fight. So, I think I'm not predicting anything. I think it's going to be very entertaining. And if you're not sitting in front of your flat screen at watching Netflix and watching this fight, you're going to miss out on something because I think it's going to be very entertaining.
Here's my thing. Boxing is referred to as the sweet science because it is.
Pugilist.
It's, you know, positioning of your feet. It's your body weight. It's how you throw yourself into your punches. It's timing. It's knowing your distances. That's all fine and good if you're going to be that kind of fighter. If you're going to be a technical fighter, yes, boxing is the sweet science. We've seen that from the Paul brother, that he has the ability to look real sharp. He knows how to fight behind his jab, which every good technical boxer, you know, is going to be able to do, fight behind the jab and open it up. But you have Mike Tyson. Good God. Even at the ripe age of 50, whatever the fuck he's at, when they were asking him about his little spare tire of a belly and why he wasn't working out, Tyson said, I don't work out because I'm scared of the man I used to be, because that monster is still in there, because I'm afraid of him if he comes out. You're telling me he's actually pumped up for this fight? That we're seeing him training? That beast is coming out? We've said it about the Rocky movies. When you've got that beast in the basement, it's hard not to want it. And I'm telling you, we are going to get an extremely motivated Mike Tyson. Are we going to see primetime Tyson? Is he going to come in ducking? And is he going to go in there trying to take his head off? Probably not. But what we are going to see is old man Tyson, like old man Rocky. When you hit, it's got to mean something. You got to hit him so hard his ancestors feel it. Tyson is gonna drop bombs with every blow, and I don't think Paul will be able to stand up to it. I really don't. He hasn't been hit very well. He hasn't been tested by anybody that has pure punching power. Yes, I'm leaving out the UFC fighter Tyron Woodley, because Woodley had punching power, and the one clean one he did land looked like it kind of glazed him for a minute, but it didn't do much. This is a whole nother level of power.
And that Woodley knockout was ugly, dude.
It was.
That was
Woodley. Woodley sent back the culture like 3 years with that knockout, dude. It was terrible. Joey, what do you got on boxing?
So, Jake Paul's a decent fighter. I'm going to say he's a great fighter. I'm not going to say he's a good fighter. He's fought retired MMA fighters who weren't boxers. I mean, I know Anderson Silva fashioned himself to be a boxer, but the truth is he's a kickboxer through and through.
Yep.
Woodley's primary background, I mean, he wasn't a pure boxer. Ben Askren, everybody knows he's a straight wrestler.
Yep.
Nate Diaz, yes. Does he have good boxing for MMA? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the boxing MMA standard.
Great technical boxing for a high-level boxing match? No, he doesn't. But for MMA, he fucking sure does. And that's not a knock against him. Also, anybody remembers the Diaz brothers? Jiu-Jitsu came first, man.
Yep.
Right.
They're fucking Gracie black belts, man. So, I can't say that Jake Paul's tested himself. And honestly, he's 27 now. This is 27. If he started training young as a kid and worked his way up through the ranks,
yeah, he'd be world champion by now.
He'd be, yeah.
Yeah.
So to be at a level where you're still fighting celebrity type matches, because in my opinion, yes, Tyson, all time. I love Tyson. But Tyson at 57 now is a celebrity match. Yep. Probably one of the most dangerous celebrity matches ever.
Because
anybody,
it's fucking Mike Tyson, man.
Anybody who spends some time anywhere training knows the older guys, the power is the last thing to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is dangerous for Jake Paul. You know, so you talk about, oh, he's got a puncher's chance. Well, if you're in a position where you have to say Mike Tyson has a puncher's chance, it's a pretty fucking scary position. Whether he's 27 or 57 doesn't fucking matter.
That was kind of my point, yeah.
Exactly. And I'll give you that, you know. Is Paul going to have the height advantage? Yes. Probably the reach? Yes. The age? Yes. Who knows? What do we even know if Tyson's going to have much in the tank? Let's be real. He's 50 fucking seven. I'm going to be 42 in 3 months. The thought of a 3 minute round terrifies me. you know, God damn, sparring for 3 minutes right now. I have genuine fear of that, but.
Well, I'm going to tell you that.
And you know what? Tyson's also a hard worker. Before I finish, Tyson's a hard worker too. And if he's motivated to do something, he's going to show up and he's going to fucking do it. Do I think he has a chance? Absolutely. Hands down, probably the best chance of anybody to tag Paul, at least drop him, maybe win a decision, or maybe even clean, knock him the fuck
come
out.
On, man. Let's That's be that. Realistic. He could do this shit in the first 3 minutes. He could knock that kid out in the first 3 minutes. It's not it like could it's be the first unheard punch. Of. Tyson's style, the way he was trained, how he was, it was maximum damage, minimum. He just stalked motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's the one video I can't remember. When he came out of prison, I seen the Joe Rogan clip where he was fighting Peter McNeely, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got a close up of them just face to face. The whole time McNeely's kind of looking down like this. Tyson's head's not moving, but his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets in the ring, dude, he's just not the same.
You ever watch that Tyson documentary?
Yep.
Dude, I've watched everything there is to watch about Mike Tyson. Yeah.
When he talks, when he's narrating about how he feels from being back in the locker room, backstage area,
yeah,
to walking to the ring, to getting in the ring, and by he's talking about how, you know, he's back there. He's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to fight. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I don't, this is uncomfortable. Walking out to the ring, the nerves are getting to him. He gets in the ring and he absolutely is done. He knows it's over. He doesn't want to be there, but he's getting up to the ring and he doesn't want to be there. And then he gets in the ring he's pushing against his gloves. He's trying to break down every bit of padding in those gloves. Everything he can. So when he connects, it's his fist with somebody's fucking head.
Yeah.
That and he goes, by the time I get in the ring, I'm a fucking god.
Yeah.
You can't touch me.
The audio on that is
that is the most and chilly. That's what I think. At 57, if that guy feels that way, that he's standing there walking to the fucking ring and he's like, this is the last place on earth I want to be. I want to run the fuck away to get in the ring and go, I'm a fucking god. You can't touch me.
Yep.
Holy shit. That's terrifying.
And when you look at who Mike Tyson is now, like if you hear him on the podcast and how he talks to these young kids and how he's, dude, just talk about a dude. Talk about a guy that is self-reflective. I mean, he looks you dead in the eye and goes, the happiest time I had was in prison. Nobody was trying to take anything from me. I didn't have to worry about money. The guy was an outdoor dog.
Yeah.
And he's always been an outdoor dog, man. He's always going to be an alley dog. That's just who he is, no matter whether he's wearing Gucci or not. When it comes down to it, when he gets in the ring.
Fucking love it, man. I can't wait.
I love Tyson.
I'm stoked for it. But you know what? Also, I am excited because if Jake Paul goes in there and works Tyson, okay, yeah, you worked a 57-year-old Tyson, but goddamn it. He worked a guy that everybody knows can tag him.
Yep.
Yeah. So good for Jake Paul. He took the
risk. It's definitely the biggest risk he's taken to this point. I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what was Mike Tyson's motto? Everybody's got to play until you get punched in the mouth.
Punch in the mouth.
And hey, if anybody should take advice to this plan, probably Francis Ngannou. How about we stop chasing the top heavyweights in the world when you have fucking no boxing experience, guy?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get too full on your hype because you took the Gypsy King, who honestly never looks like he's in fucking shape.
Did you guys watch the UFC pay-per-view last week in the Sugar Shunt?
Yep.
I watched the main event.
What a fucking animal, fucking Sugar.
Dude, there was some brutal knockouts on that card.
Hell yeah.
It was the
Dustin Poirier fight?
Bro. So I was the only one working security. The fight was on at the bar. When the main event stopped, you could hear the music in the front of the bar. Nobody was talking. You know how there's always that low rumble, you know, in the background when you're at the bar, everybody's having conversations and shit. It was the weirdest fucking thing, dude. In all the years I've been working bars, to walk through the bar and everybody's eyes was on the televisions. Nobody was talking. They were just talking to the screen when punches were being landed.
How about O'Malley though? I expected a decent fight. I didn't expect O'Malley to do that.
Yeah.
Chico's no joke, dude. That guy is not a joke.
Dude, Chino's a fucking man. He is a man. He took that ass whooping and never backed up. Dude, O'Malley hit him the cleanest with that fucking knee straight up the middle. And the smack, that just absolute hit off of his chin. And Chito just stood there and stayed in. Oh, my God.
He fucking ate it.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to hit him with a fucking car. But you
never know. That's the great thing about O'Malley.
Yeah. O'Malley fucking took him apart. Craziness, dude. I didn't expect that. I expected a good fight, but where Sugar Sean from a year and a half ago to now, wide difference, man.
Yeah.
That motherfucker got the belt and was like, he beat Aljo for the title. And then fucking he turned around and was like, yo, I'm going to put this work in. You're going to see what it's really about. And he fucking came.
Dude, and for the people who thought that that Aljo fight shouldn't have gone his way, he just fucking silenced him. He went out there and looked like a killer.
He made one of the most dangerous dudes. He made one of the most dangerous dudes, the dangerous strikers in Chito Vera, look amateur in that fight.
Yeah.
Just, Chito couldn't touch him.
Dude, and this is what pissed me off on that card. The card was fucking loaded. Loaded top to bottom. Even the preliminary card was fucking great. Mm-hmm. Why did the UFC wait so long for Michael Venom Page? MVP wasted his best years outside of the UFC.
I've been arguing that for a long time, dude. I've been arguing that for so fucking long. They had their chances to bring him in. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he looked legit. He looked fucking legit. Oh, the dude looked scary.
He's legit as fuck, man. He fucking, what's in Cyborg? He fucking crushed his head. He fucking hit him with the knee. They showed the x-ray. He had a fucking dent in his skull.
Yes.
He broke that man's fucking head open. Think about that statement. Oh. You know, you talk shit and say stuff like that, but he legit did that.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude.
It was pretty cool.
I love
MMA, dude. I love MMA. The great thing about MMA is like you just never know.
Yeah.
Everybody in the ring is skilled. Everybody. I don't care what your rank is. They're all skilled. Matt Serra became the middleweight champion on a flash fucking knockout. Great jujitsu guy. One of the toughest son of a bitches ever. Shortest fucking reign ever. But that's MMA. One fucking punch. I love Matt Serra, dude. One punch changed that guy's whole fucking trajectory in life. He went from a mid card
podcast now.
He went from a mid card guy to millionaire.
He went from from a jujitsu wizard to oh shit, he just knocked out GSP. Although, I mean,
even though GSP came back, it was
GSP was partying and living the life.
These guys all get down to that, you know, after a long run. I mean, you look like Liddell, Matt Hughes, all those guys that were so dominant in that area. Dude, when it comes to an end, it's always ugly, you know.
Before he got into his accident, they said fucking Matt Hughes was training to do another fight. He wanted to fight again.
Well, and I can see Matt. Matt was a different animal, dude.
That's fucking Miletich fighting systems from back in the day. Pat Miletich and them.
Yeah, that was Hughes just was,
that dude, that's what the Miletich issue is. Team.
You had Matt Hughes. You had fucking Tim Sylvia. You had Robbie Lawler. You had
Rich James Franklin.
Culver. You had fucking, what's his name? Who's the fucking Matt? Was it Matt Lindland? No, not Matt Lindland.
Yeah.
The fucking, who's the other jiu-jitsu guy? I can see in my fucking head. You had a straight killer team.
It'll it was come Killer Row.
The oh, they were killer. Yeah.
They were fucking monsters.
It was it was the American version of the guys in Brazil.
Yeah.
The Shoto Box.
Yeah, Gracie, yeah.
Yeah, no, they were the fucking American Shoto Box where
Anderson
came from.
Yeah, but Matt Hughes was just like hard hat, lunch bucket. I'm going to clock in, kick your ass, and then I'm going to go home.
Fucking Rich Franklin was a teacher.
Rich Franklin was one of my favorites to watch, dude. I mean, I loved watching him fight. Clay Guida is another one. Like, fucking who I feel Guida, like man. Never always comes up short in the big fights. But, dude, anytime that guy's got gloves on, I'm going to watch him fight.
Fucking Jeremy Chris Horn. Jeremy Horn. The fucking dude. On Miletich's team back in the day. Yeah. God damn, that was a fucking
killer. He got a title shot against Liddell, right?
Horn, Jeremy Horn had at least one or two. Yeah.
Yes. I think he fought Liddell and Liddell, you know, did what Liddell does or did.
Shit. Liddell did it to everybody not named Rampage Jackson.
Dude, I fucking love Chuck Liddell, man.
It was a good time back in MMA, man. Yeah, fucking man. Shit. What do you do an MMA show?
I'd be down.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you enjoyed the show. We threw a little bit of everything in here for you. Key takeaways, you got to have that dog in you if you want to step up and fight.
Roo, roo.
Hit the video.
I'm gonna tell you, Jeremy Horn, just because like I couldn't remember his name, his record, 92 wins and 22 losses.
Fuck.
This motherfucker's last fight was a win for his 92nd victory back in 2020. Jesus Christ. Don't fucking sleep on fucking Jeremy Horn. He was yeah, he did get TKO'd by Liddell for the UFC light heavyweight title, but he fucking fought a murderer's row of people and fucked a lot of them up, dude. 92 and 22.
They said he wasn't he like the basic. He was the jujitsu guy though in that.
He was
the guy that they all trained with. Every one of those guys who won belts all trained with Jeremy Horn.
Yeah, he was more of the
fucking something, dude. Yeah.
But goddamn, man. Like, Robbie came out with those guys. Like, nobody knew who Robbie Waller was. And he was just a fucking young rookie kid just knocking motherfuckers out until he met him. Until he met Nick Diaz, which is still the greatest of all time. Nick Diaz, no problem with Robbie Lawler walking out. Stockton, motherfucker. Stockton. Yo, Nick Diaz was in a street fight and Robbie Lawler showed up for a fucking sporting event. That's what happened. Yo, Nick Diaz showed up wearing Jenko jeans and a t-shirt, fucking had his shorts on underneath. Like, what the fuck is up? Stockton, motherfucker. Let's go.
Hold this for me, dog. I gotta go hit somebody.
There's no bigger disrespectful move in all of pro sports than the fucking Stockton slap.
Oh, dude, the Stockton
slap. That's a motherfucking disrespectful fucking punch.
I have implemented the Stockton slap on a couple of times because it just stuns people. It's so fun.
Good God.
Legends of the Ring Sting, man. It's a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the Shooting Shit team. And we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. Yeah, he's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR codes so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Attention, wrestling fans and fans of Shooting Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.